You're listening to the Remote Mom Collective podcast, where moms can find their stride in the remote work world. Whether you currently work remotely or you want to, you're in the right place. I'm Brittany, the remote mom, and I've been working remotely since 2007. I became a mom in 2015, and there's a lot to learn. Together, we'll support, inspire, and empower each other on our journey to balance work, life, and motherhood from the comfort of our own homes or wherever we're working remotely. Together, let's redefine what it means to be a working mom. Let's support and inspire each other.
So. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Remote Mom Collective podcast. I am Brittany, the Remote Mom, and I am so excited to be talking to my friend Trish Beeman today. And actually, this is my first in-person recording ever for a podcast. This is awesome. So welcome to the podcast, Trish.
Well, thank you. It's so good to be here. Thanks for having me. And I love that we're in person. I think it just gives it a different energy.
It really does. It really does. We don't have to worry about connection issues or anything sometimes that we have to, but I think you're right. The in-person connection makes it really great. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk today about the mental load and what it is and how to manage it. But before we dive in, why don't you just introduce yourself to everybody listening and tell everybody who you are and what you do and why we're talking about this today.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you. And thanks for having me. I'm really excited. This is actually my first podcast.
You're going to be great.
Well, thank you. So like Brittany said, I'm Trish Beeman. I've had a career in media. I have a career in real estate. I've started some small businesses. I just kind of like to keep my hand in a little bit of everything. I think that when I think about the mental load, I think when you are a person who is driven and maybe you're also a mom or a partner, a spouse, right? You have all of these things going on. Like this is a topic that's really, it's like I'm passionate about it because I feel like there's so many people who struggle with how to balance all of those things.
Yeah, it's really hard. And actually we're here in your office and we're doing a lunch and learn with our group today. And we were talking this morning about, you know, I asked you if I could bring a table and you thought, oh no, I have one. But then you thought, oh, well, somebody's helping me and offering me help. Why don't I take it? Right.
Well, yes. And I think that is something that we often forget about, like, you know, especially people who are driven and really are used to like carrying so many things. And I think maybe as moms, we feel like that's what we should do, or that's part of our job. And sometimes we don't even realize that we can take help and we can ask for help and we can take help. Like you joked about the table, but I really did contemplate like bringing a table even after you said you'd bring one. And this seems like maybe such a silly little example, but I feel like when you think about the mental load, it's all of those teeny tiny things that, did my son remember his lunch? Oh, my daughter has soccer later. Did she pack her bag? Oh, did my husband remember he's got a dentist appointment? It's like, why am I even thinking about that? I don't know, but I am. And when I think about the mental load, I feel like it's the thought burden that we carry around with us. It's like those little things that all day long, did this happen? Did that happen? Did I remember this? Did I remember that? And that's the thing that can really be an energy drain when we think about going through our daily life.
Yes. Yes. And I think part of it is just a natural instinct for women in general to always have that mode. And we're always worrying about somebody else. Why do you think that?
Gosh, you know, it's funny. I really wish I could answer that question in a succinct way, but I'm going to tell a funny story.
Okay.
Because back, like way back, I'm an 80s kid, grew up in the 80s, and there was a TV show called Roseanne.
Yeah.
And Roseanne Barr is like she's a very famous comedian at the time. And she did this stand-up bit, and I think it was in some of her shows. And it was about, this is going to be funny, but it's about the vagina being a tracking device. Like how like the kids on the show would be like, Mom, where's my socks? The husband, where's my wallet? She'd be like, where's my vagina a tracking device? And you're like, oh my gosh, like it's hilarious, but it just feels like, how is it that I am the person that knows where the lost keys are and the random sock and whatever else it is? So I feel like that like funny bit of humor really kind of articulates what we are experiencing.
Yes. I just like the way that our bed in my husband's bedroom is he sleeps closest to the door. Mm-hmm. My daughter will come in and go past him and walk around to the other side to me to wake me up to say, Mommy, I can't sleep. I'm like, you just walked 20 extra steps and past daddy. Why are you waking daddy up?
Right. And who knows if it's just the mom is the comfort, or, you know, I've often thought like, and we've talked about this a little in the prep, it was like, well, what is it? Is it that nurture? Is it like genetic? Are we genetically programmed to take this on? Or is it societal expectation? Or is it our own personal, I don't know, I'm a bit of a controller in the sense of like, it's not like I want to be in charge of every little thing. It's that I want to know that all the things that I want accomplished are actually accomplished. And sometimes I feel like I feel like I've learned at work, like how to delegate and how to manage these things. And at home and in your personal life, there's still that great big challenge that I think so many of us face, which is how do I delegate these things that are just buzzing my mind all the time.
Yeah. So what do we do? Do you have ideas on that?
Well, I have some ideas. And, you know, one of the things for me is the calendar is everything.
Yeah.
So I have younger children, not like babies, but they're 11 and 12. Even they know if it's not on the calendar, it is not happening. And I'm not even talking about the big things like the birthday parties or the soccer games or the soccer practices. I'm talking about, oh, there's a field trip this day. There's a permission slip due. I mean, like I also use my phone reminders as like a little alarm. Like I'll give you an example. So in where we live, there's a little classifieds group where moms, you know, buy and sell things. Well, I had agreed to buy a cookbook from a mom, and she's a mom who doesn't take a digital form of payment. So no Zelle or no Venmo. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So what's just been added to my mental load is I have to find $5
buy
this used, which is like, it's like crazy to think about, but these are the things that get in our head, right? And so I actually this morning put a reminder on my phone for Sunday night at 6:30 p.m. because we're meeting Monday, like, hey, bring $5 when you go to work in the morning, because otherwise there's not a chance I remember to do that. And I think with the mental load that we carry, it's keeping track of all of these details. So for me, it's the calendar and reminders in my phone that are just really practical tips to stay organized.
Yes.
And then the other part of this that I wanted to talk about, which is like kind of the mental load part, is I often think about my spouse and how he and I manage things. And he's a great dad, super involved. But like remembering everything is really still falls to me. It's almost like, and it's funny, I use the work example again, but like it's almost like managing someone who works on your team. You still have it in your head what has to get done. For us, the big thing right now is we ended up buying a house that has a pool. And so in the summer, we use a pool service. But in the winter, it's really expensive to keep that going if it's not really necessary. So my husband promised that he would take on managing the pool. It's like a huge deal, but you have to like get a little water, put it in a thing, and take it to the store where they test it for you. And then when you're there, it's great because then they'll say, well, based on the results of this test, they'll give you whatever chemicals you need and tell you exactly what to do. However, it's me, like every Saturday, like, hey, babe, happen to, you know, check that pool. Sweet, you know, and you're like, it's like, you're not trying to be a nag. He committed to do it, so I don't have to do it. But it's still that part of my brain is being occupied. So I haven't figured out how to solve that challenge. But I would really, you know, I think when you have a good spouse and you have open lines of communication, I think that's really helpful.
That's definitely helpful too. You know, I think it goes back to, somebody was saying this and I can't remember where I heard this or saw this, but you know, back in caveman times, women were the hunter gatherers and that's why we like to go shop and like find things. And I think also too, we're in that with that same mindset, we would organize things and we would keep everything, like all of our sticks and all of our like plants and everything organized and have to remember where to go to find those places. So maybe it's just a natural instinct that we have to like keep everything in order for our family, because if we didn't, then the spouse is not going to find it, right?
I think that's a good point when you think about natural instinct, because something that I also think is natural, this is going to be crazy and sound maybe a little sexist, but it's like the dishes. Oh. Okay. Let's talk about the kitchen. So it's like, when I think about, I don't love to cook. I cook because my family has to eat, right? But I'm not a person that's passionate about cooking. It's like, to me, a means to an end. So that's my approach to the kitchen.
Same.
But, you know, the deal that we've struck at home, and the kids are involved in this, is that whoever cooks doesn't have to clean up. Now, what I've had to let go, where it relates back to my natural instinct, is like, well, what if somebody, whoever, the husband or the kids, whoever's in charge of the dishes that day, doesn't do them when I want them to be done? Mm-hmm. What happens if they go outside or they do their homework or they sit on the couch and look at their phone and I have to walk by the kitchen 12, 15 times? And it's like I have to fight that natural instinct to do them. Because otherwise, I feel like all I would do is be cleaning up after everybody. And now, do I want my kitchen filled with dirty dishes even for 20 minutes? I don't. I really don't. So my instinct would be, I'm going to jump in. I'm going to take care of it for them. And I'm just going to do it. And maybe I'm going to be mad about it. Maybe I'm going to bang the dishes around and create some chaos at home because, you know. But then this is a huge discipline for me. It's like, I actually go upstairs. I walk like completely away. I light a candle if like I grilled something and there's like a smell of food. I'm like, I just light a candle because those are things that just help me manage my own life and my own priorities is I worked all day, right? And I'm trying to spend time with the kids and I'm trying to live my own life and maybe read a book or something, right? And if I'm constantly doing what the family contract says that I don't have to do, then I'm just like defeating that purpose and almost defeating myself, right? Because we all need a break from not just the mental load, but just the load of life. It's crazy out there.
It is crazy out there. And you know what popped into my head when you mentioned the dishes and the situation and it's driving you crazy? It's like, is it good for your mental health and your mental load for you to just go ahead and do the dishes because then you're not crazy anymore? Or do you need to be disciplined and go and light that candle and go and take a walk and go and read that book? Which is the better of the two? You're not going to be crazy anymore if you just go ahead and take care of it. But if you stop and wait and let somebody else do it because it was their responsibility, you're allowing your family member to fulfill their agreement. I feel like both of them are hard, and I feel like both of them could be lightening that mental load just depending on how you look at it, I guess.
I think you are right about that. And I think about when I hear you say that is that time is a finite resource. Mm-hmm. Whether you think about it in terms of the day or in terms of the week. So for me, like when I think about, oh, should I jump in? And I'm not saying I never do. I sometimes will just because it's a day that it's like, well, we're going to have company that night or something. My mother's coming over. It's like, well, if this doesn't get done right now, I think I might, you know, throw myself off the bridge, right? Like, and I can certainly empathize with that feeling because I have it more often than I don't, I guess. But I think when I think about my time, it's like, well, I need, and I think moms forget this, right? I think I need time to just reflect on the day or lay on the couch and pet my dog or go for a walk or call a friend. And I think those things are also important when you think about lightening the mental load. You know, you and I speak a lot in our regular lives about community, right? Mm-hmm. And how important community is. And you think, how does community relate to the dishes? Well, in this way, when you think about time as the finite resource, maybe you can call your friend while you're doing the dishes. But maybe you just want to take a walk, right? Or maybe you want to do something else. So I think it's finding that balance of taking care of yourself. Because when you take care of yourself, whatever that looks like, then you're also managing that mental load. It's like you have to take those deep breaths and detox a little bit or do the brain dump on a piece of paper, like just get everything out. But you can't do that and the dishes at the same time. So I think each day or each moment, it's that prioritization of what is most important to me right now. And that's, I think, you know, something that's in the ethos right now is that let them idea.
Yes. Yes.
Right. And so it's like, I think about that, which I think is a really interesting concept, especially if you're fighting codependency and things like you have to let them do what they need to do. But I also think I have to let myself do what I need to do, you know, and I was thinking that recently because my husband brought a kid home from soccer practice and it was my son and it was late and he was hungry again, even though he had dinner, but it was like soccer's really hard. So my husband, he did the carpool, did the thing, which was great. He comes home, flops on the couch. And then my son is like, Mom, I need some food. I need this. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay. I love my son. I want him to eat, of course.
Right.
I'm in the kitchen making dinner. But really in that moment, like I'm an early bird, like come 8:30, I'm winding down. Yep. The kitchen is closed. So I really think that all of us, like I have to let myself be the mom in that moment. And then I also have to let them, you know, when it's their time to do the dishes, do the dishes.
Yeah. That is a really good point. Also too, I was thinking about this when we were talking about you have to make time for yourself. And I think women do this, and I'm seeing it in my 9-year-old daughter as well. So usually my time to reflect and stare off and like do my thinking, I guess, is in the shower. Some people do it in the shower, they do walking. Like I just love to just stand in the shower and enjoy the hot water and just think. I think my daughter's doing that too, because last night before bed, I said, okay, you need to go take a shower. You need to get ready for bed. And I said, if you want to watch a little bit more TV, you need to make it a short one. Well, she gets up in the shower and like 20 minutes later, she comes down. She goes, Mommy, I just don't think I can take short showers. She said, I just get in there and I just get so, you know, into the water and the sound and all of that. And so I think even at her young age, she's learning how to enjoy that moment. And I think sometimes along the way, we forget about how to enjoy that moment too, which helps us with that mental load of just enjoying that, and our phones and all the distractions take away from all those things. So I guess my roundabout thing is saying that if we really want to get away from a lot of these distractions and a lot of these mental load, we just need to pause and take a minute, no matter if it's taking a shower or calling your friend or doing the dishes and calling your friend at the same time. There's many ways to do that and let them... let others do their thing too. There's no judgment with the way that people do their thing as well. So
I love the thought that you shared about your daughter. It's funny because my daughter has also been taking long showers, and she and I actually chatted about it yesterday. And I said, well, what are you doing in there? She says, I am just relaxing.
Yes.
And you know, it's really like kind of front of my thoughts in my mind as we're talking. It's like, we are so distracted. Even the kids are distracted, right? And to be in that place, like the shower is such a great example, because it's like, well, no one's distracting you in the shower, especially if you lock the door, right?
You can't take your phone in there unless it's in like a waterproof package or something.
It's really that time that I think we all need, whether it's in the shower or just sitting on the couch or whatever it is, but like that just, okay, can I put the screen down? Mm-hmm. Can I let my mind just experience and take a walk of where it wants to go, right?
Yeah.
And have those thoughts that we all need to think about our life and about where we're going in our future and, you know, all of the things.
Yeah. It's a really great place. If nobody has tried it out, definitely try to go in the shower and just zone. So let's get back into maybe some action items that maybe some of our listeners, or maybe ideas. You talked about writing things down and doing a brain dump, and we talked about community. Do you want to dive into any other of these things or any other suggestions that you have for helping with that mental load and unloading it?
Yeah, I think we covered some things on the practical side.
Yeah.
Using the calendar, using reminders. I mean, I use like an alarm clock as the reminder, not just like a pop-up, but like it actually makes noise. So I don't think I said that earlier, but that's really helpful, because then if I can't do it right that minute, I hit the snooze button like you would on your alarm clock. But then it gives me time, like, oh, I was going to, like my example was the $5, right? I don't have $5. I don't ever carry cash. So I really have to like hit the snooze button and go scrounge to the kids' room. To find $5. But that's why like the alarm is helpful, because I try and set them in those moments where I think I won't be distracted. But even if I am, it's like a reminder of like I'll sometimes hear my phone going off from the other room and I'll be like, oh God, what did I forget? And it's so funny, because when I look at the pop-up of, in this example, getting the $5 for the cookbook, it's like, oh my gosh, it's like I say thank you to myself from 3 days ago,
right?
Because it helped me that day, because I never would have remembered.
Oh, that's a good point.
And I really try and like, say, like, even when it seems so silly to set those alarms, but like as I'm setting them, I try and be like, you know what, you're gonna love yourself for doing this 3 days from now, that you won't forget, you won't be in that position where you get somewhere. And you know, this $5 for the cookbook, it's not like life or death, but like, what if it's like a paper for your kid's school or something important? Like, I do it to like remember to call my friends on their birthdays, like set an alarm for like my lunchtime, like 12 o'clock, and maybe put a little note on my calendar plus a reminder. Like, and if I don't have time to call them, at least say a text, right? Because it's, I love my friends, I love my family, right? But it's like in the day to day of the mental load, you don't always to remember, well, April 29th is Kim's birthday, right? Like, when it's April 29th, like, you kind of know that in like the theory of how time and space works, but you wake up and it's Thursday and you're running carpool and someone calls and there's a sick kid and the dentist office is calling, right? It's like all these things. It's like, you don't remember. So that's why I always think of like setting those reminders, even though they might feel tedious, it's like a gift to your future.
Yes. That is such a great way to put it. And I didn't think about it that way, but yeah, absolutely. Setting those reminders. And I'm a big writer too. I like to write things down. I used to have a handwritten planner, and then I got into a job where everything was on like a Google calendar. And then I got into the habit of using Google. That's a great way to stay on top of your schedule too, for sure.
Yeah.
Do you do like a family? Well, you mentioned earlier the calendar. So I'm assuming the family has like a shared calendar where everybody can input.
We do. My guys are pretty little, so they can't really
input it
themselves. But yes, I think for older kids, they can. And, you know, as they get their own calendars, I'm going to want to teach them how to manage that and add to the spreadsheet. My son, who's like, he likes to like understand what's happening. He's asked us to actually put the family calendar on his phone because he wants to be able to see like, well, what time is my soccer game on Saturday? Is it, do I have to wake up early or do I not have to wake up early? It's like, well, could I have a sleepover? Like, he's already thinking about those things, which I think is really
interesting. That's good.
It's like his sweet little personality, but he's thinking, well, if I have a soccer game Saturday morning at 9, I probably don't want to do a sleepover Friday night because it's like, it's going to distract me. You know, he's a soccer guy. So that's like important that he's like at his best, you know, when he gets to the game. But I do love that idea of like, teaching the kids, like my kids knew from when they were 5, 6, 7, like it has to be on the calendar. This is like super, super important because we're busy and we're going in a lot of different directions.
Yeah, that's awesome. We have an iPad that sits in the kitchen and I just have like a family Google Gmail calendar. I created just a silly Gmail account for the family to use. And then I'll put things on it and it sits there. And you know, my husband's a pilot, so his schedule is never the same. So we don't know when he's going to be home or when he's going to be here. And so all of that is on the schedule and it's been great. My daughter, we're working a little bit on being organized for her. She's not the most organized, but we're working on it and handwriting things down for her too. But she does like to visually look at it because it keeps her brain in check.
And I think, you know, in our digital age, this is lost. It's a little bit of a lost art, but I am a big believer in like the hand-to-brain connection. When you actually write things down, I find that for me, like if I'm in a meeting at work and I'm taking notes, that it sticks in my mind in a way that it doesn't always if I type them down.
Yeah.
Or even now there's these great like Read AI and these tools that you can have during your meetings that'll send you a synopsis. Oh my gosh, those are amazing. Are you using
any
of those?
They're game changer.
Oh my gosh. We should have done a whole other episode about the advantages of AI and really how it can help lessen the mental load. I mean, there's so
a whole topic there too. We definitely, maybe that's season 3. Maybe we dig into that in season 3 for the Remote Mom Collective. You've shared some really great details and tips and information on this, but what are some signs we want to talk about really quickly about maybe some signs where we're getting too much? Like what you feel that overload, I think, where you feel like you're just kind of like burst. What can you do? Take a walk, right? But what are some signs that we can look for before we get to that moment where we're going to burst?
Sure. I think that's a great question and something we should definitely talk about. You know, I'm going to go back to like the dishes example.
Yeah. Okay.
Again, right. So I feel like for me, okay, knocking the dishes out one time when it's someone else's job because your brain is going to explode or you just feel like you have to, that's one thing. But I do think when you continue to do that at the expense of your own, I'm going to say mental health, but I feel like sometimes that term gets like a bad rap. It's like my mental health suffers if I feel anxiety or if I feel anger, right? Or if I'm having these emotions. So it's like, well, how do I avoid feeling those things, those emotions that come along with the mental load? Because let's face it, we're used to handling a lot. We are. So I find to me, if I start to feel emotionally some kind of way that is harmful. Like, and again, I'm not talking about like self-harm. I'm just saying like, if I start to feel that feeling like, oh my goodness, this is driving me crazy, right? And you're starting to escalate. To me, that's like a great sign to like take a step back. Mm-hmm. And if you can start to manage it at that point, like for me, again, the dishes, it's like, I'm going to walk by that and be like, you know what? I could let this drive me crazy, or I can go in the other room and take a shower, go outside and take a walk. I can go on the porch and call my friend, right? It's in those moments. And you say, you know, I'm not going to let that get to me. You know what? My husband's a late night guy. 97% of the time, he does the dishes before I wake up in the morning. And so I've had to learn to
just rely on
the, just take the deep breath and deal with that. Yeah. And I think if and when, because when it is when we all get to that point where we're like crazy, to me, that is like, let's disengage. It's almost like if you are in a conversation with someone that gets heated, for me, a good guardrail for that is that if I start to really feel my emotions ramping up, I try and say, hey, let's hit the pause button on this.
Yeah.
I don't want to say something I regret. And I think when it comes to our mental load, it's, I don't want to feel something I'm going to regret. I don't want to emotionally be in a place that's going to put me in a bad mood for the rest of the night or the rest of the week. I mean, because you know, this craziness could get us off track for 3 days straight.
Oh, sure.
Oh, you didn't do the dishes. Oh, sure. And then you wake up and, you remember last night you said you would. And right, I mean, these things can really talk about adding to your mental load, right? They can really take us down a path where most of us don't want to live. We don't want to live in that place of frustration.
Not at all. It's definitely a domino effect. It can affect everything. So I think taking a pause, you have to tell yourself to take a pause on yourself, right? That's the hard part. Sometimes telling ourselves and listening to ourselves is harder than listening to somebody else, I think.
Oh, for sure. A friend of my husband's, he has a funny saying. He says, you need to take a break from yourself.
Yeah.
He said that to his wife. They've been married like 40 years. I'm like, oh, you say that to her when she's up here? You better watch yourself.
She's going to fight him one day.
I'm like, okay. I see where he's coming from. Like, we do. We have to take a break from ourselves.
But how do we take a break from ourselves? That's
taking a break from those places inside that want to drive us crazy.
Yeah.
Want us to escalate. And I think I have to say, well, I'm going to take a break from that emotion. I'm going to take a break from that feeling.
From that emotion.
I'm taking a break. I don't want to feel angry. I don't think many of us want to feel angry, right? But we can easily get to anger when we're carrying a mental load, when we're not letting people help us, when we're trying to do too much. So it's like, okay, let's take a break, right? I don't need to feel
angry.
I don't need to go down that path.
Yeah. And it can be hard to pause, but I think it might take a little bit of practice, but I guess the more you practice, the better you get at it, right?
Yes,
so just
try to
take that.
And getting to the pause earlier, like if I'm at 10, no, I'm not pausing.
You're not pausing.
I'm just shouting. I mean, I'm just yelling and banging around. And
that's a good
like,
point.
I'm already at 10. It's done. The time for pausing for me. Maybe other people can get to a 10 and still take a break. I'm back to 10. Everybody better look out because mama's on the warpath. I'm not great at it. I don't do it all the time, right? But in trying to get to that pause when you're like at a 7, approaching an 8, it's like, ooh, okay, pump the brakes.
Yes.
Can we turn on this one?
Can we revisit?
Yeah.
Well, we've talked about a lot and we're getting to the end of our time here. But is there anything else? If we could leave our listeners with just one piece of advice, what would it be? Or maybe if that's too big, is there anything else that we need to be sure to mention?
Yeah, I did want to mention when it comes to partners, you know, not everyone is fortunate to share their life with a partner, right? And I fully acknowledge that. But I think when you have a partner or someone, I mean, well, I also say like in the military, you were in the military, you were a military wife for a while and your partner is away. It's like, well, you have one, but it's still you, right?
Yeah.
I think though, in that situation, or when you have a partner who's at home on a regular basis, explaining to them, not just like why we need those people to do tasks, but explain the toll it takes on you when you're carrying that mental load. I think it's funny to kind of link it back to your intimate relationship, right? Which is like, hey, and you know, guys might want to laugh at that and some women may laugh at that, but like, I have to explain to my spouse, like, hey, when you help me, you're not just helping me. And even that term, sometimes I find fault with. It's like, mm-hmm. no, you're in this family as much as I am. You made these kids as much as I did, mm-hmm. right? But it's like when you contribute to the family, when you do the pool without being asked, it helps me relax, which helps us have a closer relationship, which leads to a more intimate experience in our marriage, right? And I think just sometimes being able to have that conversation yeah. in a way when you're not escalated, you guys are having a cup of coffee or you're going out to a dinner, whatever it is, driving in the car somewhere, right? To just be able to like chat about some of these things that have to get done.
Yeah.
I think it's really important.
That is really important. I'm glad that you brought that up because I feel like that as long as you have those expectations there, that can really help because sometimes the spouse has no clue.
Right.
they don't have, at least for men, or at least most men, and I don't want to generalize everybody, but they just don't have that intuition. I think sometimes that it could affect somebody else. So
yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. I think that we've talked about a lot. I know I've learned a lot. I know my listeners have learned a lot. If anybody has ideas or questions, certainly send them over to me, the Remote Mom Collective. My email, I just changed it. I think it's theremote.mom@gmail.com, something like that. I'll make sure it's in the show notes. I just changed it. But if anybody wants to get in touch with you, can they connect with you on LinkedIn? Or
yes, LinkedIn is a great place to find me. Okay. And I'd love to connect and chat about the mental load awesome. Or anything about building community. I think this has been so fun. Thank you again for having me.
Yes, thank you for being here. As we say here on the Remote Mom Collective, being different makes a difference. So let's support and inspire each other. Thanks so much, everybody.